It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 31st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If there's something the tech world likes less than borders, it's rules. So perhaps no surprise that in the last several days, the tech world has been critical of President Donald Trump's ban on travel into the U.S. from seven mostly Muslim countries. Retaining talent, much of which comes from overseas, is a top priority that impacts the bottom line of tech companies. Senior tech reporter at Politico, Tony Rahm, has been following this news, so we Skyped him in for a chat. Hi, Tony. Thanks for talking to us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So can you run down the reaction coming from the tech industry here to Trump's travel ban?
You know, it took some companies a while, but by the end of the weekend, we had the likes of Apple and Facebook and Google and Uber and plenty others sending out signals that they don't like the idea that the Trump administration wants to limit visa holders and refugees from certain Muslim majority countries. And many of those companies have had to take steps to protect their workers who are abroad and may experience a hard time getting back.
Can you talk a little bit about how the travel ban is impacting tech companies specifically?
You know, in certain cases, we have specific numbers. Google said that there may be about 180 or so employees who are affected. With Microsoft, it was a little bit less than that. Some companies like Facebook and Apple didn't release specific numbers. But plenty of these companies are taking steps to help their employees, but also to help some of their users who may be impacted. You know, Uber, for example, has a bit of an issue with some of its drivers who may come from some of these Muslim majority countries that were targeted by the order. And the company has promised that it's going to compensate some of those drivers for any loss of revenue that may be incurred as a result of the travel ban.
These are all specific companies reacting in specific ways. We've seen tech companies and users band together before to oppose legislation like SOPA and PIPA. Might we start to see something similar here?
You know, it feels like the beginning of something, right? Especially when you see so many executives sounding off as publicly as they did this past weekend. And that's due in no small part to the fact that employees at many of these Silicon Valley companies have been demanding for a long time that their executives take charge, take action against Donald Trump, and make their opposition known. We'll see what happens from here as Trump continues to sign executive orders, but we certainly know that a few CEOs plan to raise the issue directly with the president later this week. And if Trump continues to do things of the sort that anger Silicon Valley, I think you can expect to see engineers pushing their bosses to do more politically.
Tony Rahm, he is senior tech reporter for Politico. Tony, thank you very much, as always.
Thanks for having me.
How does the saying go? If you can see it, you can be it. Well, this seems to be the motto of the Ford Motor Company recently, which is trying to change its brand from a car company to a future mobility company. Today, the first new Ford Hub opens inside Manhattan's massive new Oculus Transportation Center. The Ford Hub has lots of stuff, a rolling ball sculpture, a wall covered in matchbox-sized cars with LED lights inside them that change when you walk by, and a futuristic traveling game like Sonic the Hedgehog crossed with Dance Dance Revolution that I played against Henry Ford's great-great-granddaughter, Elena Ford.
Why? Yours is making so much more noise
because
than mine.
Because I'm collecting seems all
unfair.
My energy, and you're not.
You crushed me. Crushed me. Left me in the dust.
I'm here at the Hub with Elena Ford. She's the VP of Global Dealer and Consumer Experience at Ford. She's also the great-great-granddaughter of Henry Ford. Elena, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
So if I were going to pick a place to drive a car or sell a car, the bottom of Manhattan probably would not be my first choice. But this is about more than that, right?
Exactly. This is actually a experience studio where you can come and experience our brand. And we actually don't have a car here.
There's some tiny cars.
So there's some die-cast cars that we've actually put 5,000 die-cast cars on the wall to showcase all the different cars we have from a Gran Torino to a GT.
There's also this kind of, it's like a Rube Goldberg machine with marbles.
It started to the top with the clover leaves of highways. Mm-hmm. It then has two superhighways. It has merging lanes, then it has a city grid, mm-hmm. and then it has a subway system underneath. And the idea is that the marbles move and show people how they work and how they go through the whole transportation system. Mm-hmm. And it's really to engage with customers and let them sort of see how we can let them move freely.
So this is a brand experience space.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean?
We're starting a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We love our core business, mm-hmm. but we want to give people access to new modes of transportation, mm-hmm. both sharing and self-driving and the thoughts that we have about it. Mm-hmm. So that's the concept of it.
The Trump administration is thinking about American manufacturing. As you make driverless vehicles, will they be made in the U.S.?
Our footprint will be determined as we bring those vehicles into manufacturing. But right now, I can't comment on where our manufacturing footprint will be. Not clear.
When do you think we're going to have fully autonomous vehicles on the road?
Well, we said we had level 4 by 2021.
What does that mean?
No pedals, no steering wheel. You can get in the vehicle, and it'll take you within a mapped area, mm-hmm. without instrument panel items that you would have in a normal vehicle.
Elena Ford is the VP of Global Dealer and Consumer Experience at Ford. She's also the great-great-granddaughter of Henry Ford. Elena, thanks for talking to us here in this awesome hub.
Thanks for having me.
And it may feel like it's going to be a long week before the weekend's arrival, but I have been invited to at least one, okay, just one, Super Bowl party already. I'm the guac guy. The secret is lemons instead of limes. But according to online food ordering service Grubhub, that is not on the good luck food orders list for New England Patriots fans or Atlanta Falcons fans. Top orders for the Patriots fans, Sag Paneer. For the Falcons, chicken noodle soup. The most popular game day foods across the country make a lot more sense to me. Smoked wings, buffalo wings, and, yep, barbecue wings in that order. Now we're talking turkey, or technically chicken. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.